local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. One more hour with you for our last show of 2023. 2024 is around the corner. Joined by our Sactown Sports Kings insiders, the hardest working men in Kings media, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez. As Brendan Nunez, I have infiltrated Brendan Nunez's thought process, and he is big on the trade machine. Go look up the piece. Go look up the piece that he just wrote on SactownSports.com. Great stuff. We are breaking it all down now. Your calls, your texts, the Sack Chat is going back and forth. If you haven't seen the poll on the Sack Chat, would you start Sasha over Kevin Huerter? We are at 76% says go for it. 24% says you are insane. Brendan Nunez, you had one more mock trade for us, okay? And for those who are just now listening, first one was for Dorian Finney-Smith. We felt like it was a little too much. I think the collective group here felt like it was a little too much, but we like Dorian. Second one, Alex Caruso. So, yeah, first one with Dorian Finney, you'd lose Davion and Harrison and a pick. Okay, the second one, you would lose Kevin Huerter and just a pick, right?
And Colby.
And Colby Jones for Alex Caruso, who is shooting 3.4 threes a game at 44%?
44.9.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Knocking them
down.
Let's
do that now. Let's see if Brendan can go. I'll say you're one for two right now. You're one for two right now.
Yeah,
let's see if
fine.
You can go two for three on the day. What's the last one?
So this other one's a little different. It's a cheaper option that you could maybe mold into somebody that you like. I looked at PJ Washington. He's somebody that's interested me for a little while, has obviously spent a good amount of time in the league. This is his fifth year, and kind of underwhelmed, right? Started the year in the starting lineup. Miles Bridges came back. He's been moved to the bench. This is what I got from Charlotte Reporter asking about PJ Washington, right? He's had an underwhelming year, but maybe a player that needs a change of scenery and a second-round pick or like late first-round pick and a filler, and just a little context from him on PJ Washington and the season that he's had, clarifying on that inconsistency. When he's clicking as a ball mover, pick and pop, three-point shooter, short roll playmaker, and he's had a floater working at different parts in the last couple seasons, it just feels like it doesn't always click on a consistent basis. Mm. In theory, he's a better player than in practice sometimes. Still very versatile, both ends of the floor and skill. Just want to see him put it together for longer stretches. So, you'd be selling yourself on, we get this guy in our culture, we can optimize him, right? And because that's the case, a little cheaper, right? So Trey Lyles can't be included in a deal until I think it's the 15th of January. So you could put Trey in here if you wanted instead. But I put Sasha Vezenkov, Davion Mitchell, and 2 second-round picks. Portland's 2025, Sacks 2026 for PJ Washington. Change of scenery guy is Davion Mitchell to me, and Sasha's not
nothing. I'm saying yes.
Let me hear it again.
PJ Washington comes a sack for Sasha Vezenkov, Davion Mitchell, and 2 second-round picks.
He's under contract.
He just signed a 3-year, $46.5 million deal.
It's more depth at the forward and the big positions.
You could slowly work him into the role while HB gets phased out a little bit.
Yeah. Like you talked about, I mean, age. As much as I hope Sasha works out and his shot is impressive, but Trey Lyles and Sasha are a little redundant, so it wouldn't make sense if Trey Lyles and Sasha are a little redundant.
How do you figure?
They're both stretch fours.
I don't think they're redundant.
I think
because defensively, I think Trey, you can put different bodies on Trey that you cannot put on Sasha.
For sure. But I feel like bringing in PJ Washington, stretch four, stretch five, but a little different. Like he brings more size to the Kings have. Because right now, you know, would PJ Washington play backup center? It's hard to say. Would he play four next to Sabonis or play the five and Sabonis and him play interchangeable positions? I don't know. But it does kind of bring you another guy that would be an upgrade over what they currently have in those areas.
Well,
he's 25.
He's 25. Honestly, I will give you this. The more I've watched Trey Lyles, I thought he at least had a semblance of a bag. That man has no bag. No, he does not have a bag. He can't even get to the free throw line. I mean, literally, all he does is shoot.
He's going through a rough stretch for sure. But he...
What does he do offensively before shoot? Besides shoot?
I think he doesn't do too much out there. which has some value, you know, like shoots well, I think runs the floor and cuts, you know, just like fits there. I don't think it's very often that you're like, God, that was just a horrible decision by Trey.
No. You know what I mean? But we have too many of those guys on the team.
That's probably fair.
Right? Yeah. I'd rather, sorry, Trey Bayes, I'd keep Sasha.
Well, yeah, if you want it to be Sasha in this, or Trey in this rather than Sasha, like sort of take your pick in my mind. Just wait until the 15th.
My question is, what are you hoping to get out of PJ Washington?
Hoping that there's more there than what has been seen. I think that he's a really solid play finisher, which is big alongside De'Aaron and Domas.
Yeah.
I think that his playmaking's kind of okay, and that there's interest on the defensive end of the floor. Like, a couple years ago, this was a guy that was talked about. It was like, maybe he could be that four next to Domas that can protect the rim a little bit, you know? So I'm kind of banking on the Kings could get more out of him than what he's gotten in Charlotte because they have a system in place, and I have faith in their coaching staff to, like, get the best out of somebody.
I'd probably try and get that done without players. That would be my approach. I don't think that that would be worth sacrificing a potential piece that could help you for a guy that, I mean, he's making, you said, $46 million for 3 years.
Over 3 years, yeah.
It's about $15 million per year. That's like what you're paying Harrison Barnes for a guy that you're just very unsure what you're going to get. Right. I mean, maybe if there was a little bit more concrete numbers or you know, things that you could take from him that feel like the right thing. But, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, yeah, making the Nuggets model of where's our KCP and where's our Aaron Gordon, I don't think PJ Washington fits the Aaron Gordon mold. To me, that's given up a lot for that. That's a move for a younger team that's going to bank on some potential. I don't think the Kings are in a potential spot right now. It feels like to me they need hard production. They need somebody who, you know, you're going to trade for this guy. You're going to get this, and you might get something more. But to me, I for PJ Washington, I feel like giving up on Sasha too this early feels like it's not worth the risk.
That's fair. So you're a Gordon Hayward guy?
Big Gordon Hayward guy. Even though I saw he's hurt again.
Is he?
Yeah, he got hurt yesterday. Yeah.
He's on my list of what ifs. Ken Griffey Jr., Bo Jackson.
He'd be a good fit for the Kings.
He's kind of interesting.
If they're just getting rid of him.
He does have $30 million though. You got to match.
Yeah, you know.
No.
Hayward?
Yeah.
That's a lot of moolah.
Quick side note on PJ Washington. If the Kings were to bring him in, he would already would lead the team in blocks. And he's not really a, like, quote unquote rim protector, but the fact that he would be right now their best rim protector also speaks to the fact that the Kings really have not taken any steps closer in solving this rim protection issue. Because I have to go back and look to who leads the team in blocks, but right now PJ Washington's at 21 on the year. And I believe leading the Kings with 18 this year.
Ooh, wait, you got guesses?
Go ahead, guess. Who's leading the Kings in blocks?
Keegan
this year?
Was second last year, so I'll say Keegan. It's either Keegan or Domas.
It's
Keegan.
It's Domas.
Okay.
Yeah, with 18.
Where's JaVale?
I think he's tied with Malik. He's actually it or not.
Yeah. What? Yes. Yeah. Tied for second.
Don't
16.
Tell me that. Don't tell
16
me.
Though. Malik has 16 blocks.
16 yeah. blocks.
Hey man, Alex Len's averaging 4.2 blocks per 36 minutes. So
there you go.
He's got to play Alex Len 36 minutes.
From the 916, 6 minutes ago, so not sure which one, just get a nope.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. The thing that I do like about PJ Washington is, Frankie kind of turned my mind a little bit. The versatility at the four and the five would be nice. I mean, that's a guy where you can put him into the Sabonis backup minutes, and that feels a little bit more like a center than maybe, you know, Trey Lyles and Sasha do. So in that sense, to me, I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of the interchangeability is cool. Like the same thing with like Barnes.
It's dope, actually.
Yeah, it's dope. But with Barnes, fire, dude. With Barnes and Keegan, it's so fire. No, the Barnes and Keegan aspect, like who's actually a small forward? Who's the power forward? I mean, we go back and forth on this sometimes, but who, like, do you view Keegan as more of a small forward or a power forward?
I guess small forward. I think it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
I think that you could have a lineup, like, say that you traded Herter instead of Barnes for Dorian Finney-Smith. I think you could roll out there Herter, Barnes, and Finney-Smith together. Or not Herter, Murray, Barnes, and Finney-Smith together. Like, Murray's guarding twos. Why can't he play the two?
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. It's like positionless basketball, which is why bringing in a guy like PJ Washington, you know, who's the five? Does it really matter? They're both bigs. They're both going to have a defensive assignment. And that's kind of like one of the things that people have talked about too, is would Sabonis be better as a four? I don't know, but if you have someone like PJ Washington, it doesn't really matter. They're both
blur the lines a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They're both going to be down there.
Just want good ball. Just good ball. Score the basketball and defend. The past, but we've been waiting for weeks. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Tin, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Tin? You got something for our Sactown Sports Insiders.
Yeah, that's crazy. Y'all got both of them at the same time.
Yes, sir. Always. That's how we do it every Wednesday and or Friday, weeks. Once a week.
I roll the dice. Next year, man, stick with the team. Roll the dice, like, and you land on no players getting traded. You land on stick to what you have. That's what I mean. And roll with the squad from here on out, bro.
There you go. You hear Tin does not want to make any moves. Got to get to a break when we get back. Happy New Year to Tin for calling in. Happy New Year to the roundtable. We have one more.
Let's do it.
As we get into not just the end of this year, the start of next year, where the schedule starts to lighten up. We'll predict schedules, and we'll probably be terribly wrong, but we're going to do it anyway. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. One more segment. Mm-hmm. Get your calls, get your texts in. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. And shout out to the Sac Chat having a great conversation about potential moves. But we are going to leave that realm of potential and enter back into reality, because the reality is the Kings play the Hawks tonight as they try to get their first win in hot Atlanta since 2019. Boys, after this game tonight, you go to Memphis on New Year's Eve. Okay, that could be a New Year's Eve beam. Okay, could be the first beam technically of 2024 if they leave it up long enough. Come back, talk about PJ Washington. They have the Hornets the day after New Year's at home. After that, the Magic, who are nothing to sneeze at this season. The Raptors, kind of confusing, not very good, but they got some pieces. After that, the Pelicans. Then it gets a little dicey in Detroit. Okay, nobody. Let's hope that the Detroit Pistons win a game.
Please.
Before the Kings have to go to Detroit. After that, you go to Charlotte. You go to the Sixers. And you go to the Bucks. You go to the Suns, and then January 18th, it's the first showdown with De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton. Mm. So there are a lot of games to break down here, fellas. What do you think happens? Do you think the Kings are able to turn this thing around? I'm looking here based on what I'm seeing. Give me 2 seconds. Based on what I'm seeing, the next back-to-back would be January 9th and January 10th away at Pistons, at Hornets. Also, do they finally get that first W on the second half of a back?
Well, there's one before that, too, which is funny because we had to actually...
Oh, that's right.
Well, there's a second and the third, which my family's in town, and they went to the other back-to-back against Minnesota, which I told them you probably shouldn't do that. So this one, I said, hey, do not go to the Magic game because the Kings have not shown they can handle the back-to-back aspect of the schedule. So, yeah, here's a test. I mean, Charlotte... Again, the Kings, again, we said it against Portland, but they should win that game. They should win a couple of these games, really. Mm-hmm. But that's a test for them. Orlando is a good basketball team, and they could pose a lot of problems as far as the length and the positional, you know, matchups that they possess. But I'm looking at that. That's an 11-game sample size to Indiana. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of say I'd love an over 500 run. Like, if you can go 6-5 over the next 11, there's not...
That's where you're at?
I'm at 6-5 right now.
You play the Hawks? You play the Hornets? You play the Raptors?
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Memphis is not the same Memphis anymore.
No, I'm not. Memphis, I'll tell you right now, I got Memphis as an L.
Orlando's a good team.
I don't feel good about it.
That's probably fair.
Orlando's a good team. New Orleans is a nightmare. Philadelphia is Philadelphia. Milwaukee's Milwaukee. Kings match up well against Phoenix, and Indiana's played well. There's only a couple games in there that are like, okay, they should beat Charlotte, they should beat Detroit, they should beat Charlotte again, and other than that, it's like, I don't look at any of those games and say, wow, the Kings should win by a landslide. I mean, they haven't really proven that to this point. They just haven't. Even in games they've won against Washington, you allow 130 points. So I'm looking at this upcoming schedule
Raptors
and saying,
11 and 18.
Yeah, Raptors 11-18. They're also someone that could pose a problem as far as matchups because they have the Siakams and the Ananobis.
Showcase.
Scotty Barnes. Yeah, showcase. It's a big showcase game.
In Golden 1.
I might be a little down on the Kings right now just because of what happened against Portland. But again, they have the capability to come out tonight and just completely, you know, beat the brakes off of Atlanta. But they have to prove it.
Yeah. I'm saying that New Orleans game is a win.
They got to get
There's
one, right?
No way you lose four games in a row. There's no way. There's to no any way. Team in the NBA.
Roll the dice.
What was it? The Usher, watch
Roll
this.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice.
You never know.
Chris, how are you feeling?
I don't know how I'm feeling anymore. Feeling about what? I'm sorry.
The Kings.
These are all over the place. I think the Kings are going to do well during this stretch. There's to Frankie's point, however, I will say, there's really not much that to go off of that should make me feel positive about it. But, man, I mean, the Kings, I told you this yesterday, Alan. Up until the loss to Portland, they had not lost to a team underneath 500. It feels like they should be able to take care of this easier stretch of games. Like, you know, we were talking with DeMichael earlier. He was talking about how in the West you go from, you know, playing the Nuggets to the Clippers and then the Kings and Warriors.
Right.
There's not many stretches of games where you can kind of take a breath. And the fact that the Kings at least have an opportunity here to breathe a little bit with some Charlottes, with some Torontos, with some, you know, some bad teams sprinkled in there. To me, it just, if it's not going to happen now, if consistency isn't going to happen in this next, I'm not looking as far as maybe the Indy game, but this next seven or eight games, please, just if it's not happening now, I can't believe it the rest of the year. They're just going to be up and down all year because this is the easiest stretch of games you're probably going to get all year.
And they already tricked off one.
Yeah, and
I don't even know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I want to take this dog segment into 2024 if they don't start to figure this
That's
out.
Fine.
All right, I got a short leash, no pun intended, on the dog segment because I'm looking here. Okay, Hawks. I'm sorry. After you tricked off the Blazers, that's a gotta happen.
Yeah, you got
to
it.
Me. Yeah. Grizzlies. That's gonna be spicy, dicey. Sure. Fine, whatever. Hornets gotta have it. Magic. I'm sorry. Gotta have it. I don't care.
I don't know about have to.
No, you gotta have it. But
it's
here's
a good
the thing.
Team.
Here's
That's
the thing,
really
though. Here's
team.
The thing, though. For me, this is a very important stretch. Okay, I would say I would say until the Sixers, because the Sixers we know are legit, and the Bucks are legit.
The Magic are legit.
Not as legit.
Well, about the Magic game though, they also will be on the second night of a back to back. They played Golden State the night before, so again, that's a no excuses back to back. They both
well,
are on
right.
They both are on the second night of a back to back. And you, to Alan's point. Like, you have to get that narrative out of the way. You cannot
At some
keep
point.
Losing.
It, but again, how many games in a row are the Kings supposed to win here now?
No, I'm not saying
that's
I'm
the
not,
thing, though. That's the problem.
No. My whole point is when you look at, let's go up
you said
to the
four
Sixers.
Straight gotta have it games in a row.
No. I didn't say Grizzlies. I said Hawks gotta have it. Grizzlies, eh. Hornets gotta have it. Magic should have it. Okay, I will downgrade that.
Okay.
Raptors gotta have it. Pelicans have some pride, okay? Pistons, please have some pride. Then you go to Charlotte. I would say that's stretch.
So 7-2 at worst.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay, I'll take 6-3. But okay. This stretch to me right here is going to be the most important stretch for Monty McNair to decide because this isn't the creamiest of the crops. All right, so you got to if you are not able to at least have a winning record here, I'm not saying blow it up.
No, for sure.
But get Brendan Nunes in there, Monty McNair. We'll run this like Moneyball. Next thing you know, we're gonna have Brendan on the show, assistant GM.
Right.
That's what.
Well,
I'm
then
saying.
We won't get him on. The, sorry. Low blow.
Yeah.
Low
all
blow.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
That's,
wow.
that's
we're so close.
We're so close. We're so close.
Don't picture my mic.
Sorry. I'm blowing it, Chris.
Dropping it. Come on.
Wow. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that. At some point, you gotta see a run.
Dude.
You gotta see a run. That's all
you do. You have to see a run.
Holiday season cheap shot. Still the holidays.
It wasn't a cheap shot.
We're not to the New Year.
I can say you were.
If anyone should be
what's
upset,
that,
it's
what's that Stephen A? What's that Stephen A mean? I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, right. Right.
Let's be nice. Let's be nice.
Just be nice now. You didn't gotta say all that.
Wrong.
Let's be
out.
Nice.
I'm
let's
just
be
saying.
Nice.
I'm not all
right.
Let's get these
Before
fools out of here.
Before we get you guys out of here, Frankie, any New Year's Eve resolutions and or your plans for New Year's Eve?
Resolutions.
Ooh, what would be a Frankie resolution?
I don't know. Do you guys have any, resolutions for me?
Yeah, let's try and get Frankie.
We still have time. You got to go now.
Calm down on the pizza.
I got to calm down on the pizza a little bit.
Maybe one slice next time.
No stealing pizza.
Yeah, don't get another nickname this year.
Yeah, that's a great resolution.
Well, less pizza, more Kid Rock.
No. My resolution is to
don't be memed.
To block Kid Rock from my music library.
There we go.
That's my resolution.
Oh, good. You're going to get shakes.
No,
I'm
not.
Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know the best?
No, we don't have time.
We don't have
Brendan,
time.
Brendan, what is your New Year's resolution and or your New Year's
I hate you
Eve
guys.
Plans?
I haven't thought of a resolution here, I guess. I'm going to Monterey for the weekend.
That's what's up.
Okay. You know, that'll be cool.
Aquarium.
The waves look wild. Yeah, we're going to do the aquarium.
Maybe get married?
No, don't know about that one,
wow.
Nate. We're going to jump straight to that.
Okay,
huh?
I don't know.
Yeah,
just
don't
ideas.
Think so. Don't just think so.
Is that you, Nate? Yeah. You're the
oh,
one?
Oh, I've been on the hot seat, bro. I'm on the hot seat.
Okay, well, we'll talk about your New Year's resolution a little later, Nate. Brendan Nunes, thank you for all the work you've done in this 2023, and we know it's going to continue to come through for us in 2024. Same to you, Frankie Cardicelli. Thank you for all the work that you do, and we cannot wait for the first round table of 2024. Oof. You guys enjoy your holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Keep it rolling.
Appreciate it.
Can't wait.
There you go. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we have our final dog of the year, and we will discuss the best calls, the best games, all that jazz. We'll pick our winners when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 30 more minutes with you. Thank you again to Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Great stuff as always. Be sure to follow them on social media and find their work right here on Sacktown Sports. And they were joined with us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. As we do, I guess technically we can do two, the double dog to end the year.
Oh, I guess so, right.
And after having all these conversations about trades, I feel like I got to instill some more belief into my guys, right? So tonight, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to do it? No, I'm doing it.
Okay, dude, I think today it's okay.
Or maybe
no,
somebody else
okay.
does it. It's
no,
the
it's
homecoming.
Okay.
I can do it for
okay.
you. I'll
you
do
can
it.
Do
I'll
it.
Take okay. the heat. I'll take the heat.
You can do it.
Because it's not, dude. You got to, you got to chill, bro.
You act like he's been balling when I haven't been taking him, though.
No, I mean, I just think there's I'm doing it more for you at this
then
point.
Then do like, it then. Yeah. Nate, who's your dog tonight?
Well, we got to get the music going.
Okay, we'll
Give
get
me
the
a
music
second.
Going. We're asking Nate to do a lot. He's in here with the cameras.
I know, he's
doing
switching
great work
cameras.
For us.
He's got a
doing
produce.
Great work for us. You know, he probably came in Friday.
Yeah,
easy
he was like,
show,
oh, cool.
mail it in. No, 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 no,
no.
We're
no.
cutting audio.
You got guests.
You're going to earn it.
Come
you're
going
to earn this last one.
The hardest maybe I've ever worked. As you guys know.
There we go.
I don't work very hard.
Different hands going all different directions behind. You got the computer going.
I'm like Dr. Octopus.
Yeah,
we're on the same frequency right now, bro.
Who is your dog for the game
tonight? Oh, baby. My dog of the game. The red-haired menace. The flaming freak.
Okay.
Kevin Herter, baby. That's my dog, number 9. In Atlanta, back in his home. I don't know if he's from Atlanta.
He's definitely not.
He's not from
he's
Atlanta.
Not.
Here's the thing, though.
What?
He never broke 30 in Atlanta.
Ooh.
So tonight.
This is strong.
He's not going to break 30. He's going to get 23.
I'm good with that.
23 for
he's
K-Bob.
He's going to have a solid 23.
Dude,
respectable.
I love that guy, too, dude. The Hawks used to be my 2K team. Him, Trae Young, John Collins.
Yeah.
Red
oh,
Velvet.
My. Dude, quick play versus the friends, dude. Kevin Herter in
Over.
The corner.
Over.
By
Over.
The way, just Ball to game. Put it in perspective, as we do put Kevin Herter in different trades, and we've not been easy on Kevin Herter. I mean, he is only 25.
Yeah.
I think a lot of crazy. People, I think a lot of people would at least guess 27. Yeah, I'm being honest with you. He's 25 years old.
That's crazy.
Right? He's 25.
Still young.
And turned 25.
Young enough to get on the bench.
Young enough to have a lot of growth in his game.
And yeah,
there you go.
If down the line that ends up being the case, sure. But I think to that point, I know Nate was being a little bit cynical there, but to that point, we don't really know what Kevin Herter is going to be in this league.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a nicer way to put this. Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
Your dog.
I just want to say Hawks. Kevin Herter is a great shout. You know, I'm a strong believer in revenge games. I definitely think that, you know, even if it's been 2 years or 3 years, I think even in some cases, like Russell Westbrook, I think still has emotions going back to OKC. I think it's a real thing. I'm not going to take Kevin Herter. I think it's a great selection, but let's see here. I'll go. Who should I go with today? I guess. You know what? Let's go obscure. Why not? Let's say Harrison Barnes. Why not? Well, let's throw out some
that's
of the others
obscure,
today.
Dude. That's a starter. That's your favorite player.
Yeah. I'm glad the music stopped there. I'm going to say HB. Nothing crazy. I'm not even going to say he reaches 20. Just a lunch pail game. Let's say 15 points. We'll say, you know what? I'll just say a 15-5-3.
I like
15
that.
Points, 5 boards, 3 assists. Nothing crazy, but I just think solid for HB. And we'll give him some standout play show the dog.
Maybe a dunk or an and one.
Big dunk.
An important and one.
And one would
offensive
be great.
That's right up his
and
yeah.
one
his
type deal.
Yeah.
All right, I'm into that. You know, I kind of roasted this guy, so I want to bring things back around for the Trey Bayes and Trey Lyles. I said he had no bag.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Trey Lyles tonight. Uh-huh. I think he finds some open threes. I think he shoots with confidence, and he gets back on track with a little 14-pointer.
Sure.
Right? And just helps these guys get on the winning side of things before their showdown with the new-look Grizzlies.
Right.
And again, DeMichael Cole, who joined us, great stuff said in Memphis. They are looking at this thing as different seasons, and the season prior to Ja went a certain way. Well, the season with Ja has been great so far. So, assuming Ja gets back, I believe it was illness that why Ja
illness
didn't play
the other day.
So, assuming he gets back on track, because that game is not until Sunday or New Year's Eve. So, I think that will be a great one. But I think the Kings will get back on the right side of things, in part due to your two dogs, and in part due to Trey and the Trey base. Trey taking open trays.
Okay,
when he has them, and taking care of business.
I'm excited to watch Bogdanovich tonight, too. He's having the best season he's had since moving over to Atlanta. I think he's just under 18 points a game. Bogey is, in a weird way for me, he's kind of the one that got away. The Kings decided to move on from him and pay Buddy Hield instead of moving on from Buddy and paying Bogey, and there still is a universe out there where I think, man, Bogdanovich would have probably still been a King.
Interesting.
And I really always liked his style of play, and still kind of miss him a little bit. So I do like seeing him play well in Atlanta. And in a weird way, him going to Atlanta got Kevin Herter over here. So there's some weird bogey ties that I really hope he plays well today.
Maybe a hybrid revenge game for him.
Sure, yeah.
So be sure to keep an
goes
eye
both ways
on that. From Alex on the Sack Chat, Chris Duarte as a dark horse.
That's definitely a dark horse.
Mm-hmm. So
sure.
You have him. You also have Amid Rock, Alex Len. 10 points, 5 rebounds.
That's another mini revenge game. Alex Len, a longtime Hawk.
I see what we're all doing here as a Kings community.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it, because last game it was the De'Aaron and Sabonis show.
Yeah.
So now we are picking guys that, look, they can score over 70, and it won't make a difference if these guys on the bench don't show up.
I thought basketball wasn't a team sport. That's what I was told.
That's what I was told as well. There's only one team sport out there, and in that team sport, only one position can win MVP. So go figure. All right, let's keep it rolling here. We're seeing some. Let me check the Folsom Lake Honda text line as well from the 916. Yo, HB.
That's
all. All
four
right.
Letters. YOHB.
That's right. From the 916. HB with two picks for the dog. Also seeing from the 209 Malik Monk, is it really a dog segment without the Monk Yard?
How about
dog?
Whoever's being guarded by Trae Young?
Wow, that's a
shot.
That's
an easy one.
Who are they going to try? Is that the most? Because remember back in the day, well, not back in the day, but when you hoop and it's the lesser.
Oh, that's definitely back in the day for me.
Well,
for sure.
the lesser guy, who is going to be the disrespected person to, hey, Trey, you guard him.
Kevin. It could be. I mean, I guess it could be.
Oh, Kevin, you
got
to eat.
I mean, like,
they put Trae Young on you.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
I mean, there's no way. If they put him on HB, that's nuts. He's just going to put him in the post. There's no way they put Trae Young on De'Aaron Fox. He's just going to – he could score 100. I would guess, yeah. Just chase Kevin Huerter, I guess, and try and make his shots difficult.
If they put him on HB, that's wildly disrespectful.
Not great. It's not great.
Wow, Kevin. Today's your day. All right, got to get to a break. Real quick, let's do Memphis.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, Memphis, I'm going to do Malik Monk because I do feel that he loves those big games, and he's a trash talker, and Ja's a trash talker. Is. So I'm going Malik Monk in Memphis. Who do you got?
I'll go De'Aaron. De'Aaron versus Ja.
Let's go.
I definitely see big things for De'Aaron.
Nate?
JaVale McGee.
Got to get to a break when we get back. Crosstalk with our guys, the Drive guys, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Those are the sounds of Whitey Gleason breaking it down for you in the last Crosstalk.
Yeah, I'm working
2023.
Hard
2023. Of course you are.
Sorry if I'm a little distracted, still doing show prep.
Yeah, long show today, right?
Yeah.
What is it, 30 minutes?
It's an hour.
Oh, right. Please don't disrespect our show time. Please.
Sorry.
It's 60 minutes is twice what you said.
Can we get Whitey's dog of the game, do you think? Is that possible?
I don't think that's possible. But
you got a dog of the game tonight?
Dog of the game? Well, I haven't heard all the dogs of the game. I know JaVale McGee's taken.
That's for next. That's for Memphis. Right.
Oh, I'm going to go with a guy that yesterday we said he'd be a perfect fit for the Kings. Can I pick a guy on the other team? DeJounte Murray.
It hasn't happened.
Murray.
Wow.
And he's a guy that's supposedly maybe available.
He's a perfect fit?
Yeah, he'd be a good fit here. Me and Kyle yesterday were both like, ooh, we like that. So that's my pick because
I'm
hoping
he's the Kevin Huerter replacement?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, another guy from Atlanta, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all why not?
All they do deals with Atlanta, you know?
Yeah. They do.
Right. Wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
What do you got to give up for that?
At least
probably
two
a lot.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to, because they traded.
They gave up a good
three
bit for
to get him.
Yeah.
Plus a swap, so.
Do you think they'll take Davion?
I don't think that'd be the centerpiece, but sure.
Yeah, not the centerpiece. Yeah. But thrown in there somewhere.
But there's the Knicks want him, the Lakers want him. I don't see how the Lakers are going to get him. Yeah. So, I don't know. We're just hoping that happens.
Yeah, I thought as I listened to the Drive guys yesterday, I thought it was interesting what Draper had to say just as far as the acknowledgement that this team isn't there yet, because I think that a lot of fans can have different takes on it. And, you know, me coming out here from the Bay just trying to understand.
Oh, by the way, sorry about your Warriors last night. Yeah.
They're go not ahead. My Warriors.
Sure.
Not anymore.
Sure.
Not anymore.
Coming
you know,
out here from the Bay.
Well, I was. What I was going to say was that, you know, a lot of people have different ideas of success, right? And to hear Draper and I think even you and even going into the season, I had said, hey, you know, they're young. What if they got the one seed? And Kyle never wavered. He from the beginning, he said, I think, you know, that I don't think they're going to be in that position. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And you had said, I think they're going to have maybe a worse record, but be a better team. I do think it's always interesting because the idea is to play for a championship, but when it's taken you so long to get to the playoffs, I guess how long does that honeymoon phase end? How many Sacramento Kings fans would be okay with just, and you talked about the Pacers being outed in the first round year mm-hmm. in, year out.
5 years in a row.
If you just stand pat and then the Kings, let's say they go in and they got it right now, fifth seed, they got to go up against the Clippers and the Clippers handle them. Is this year probably the year? Is there one more grace year before next season? Okay, we got in. That's cute. Let's actually try to make something happen.
That's what I expected, but I don't know, Chris, if you feel this way. I've been thinking about it a lot. I think the fact that Kings fans for so long were without playoffs, it's not like, okay, we're starting over. It's like, hey, we had to wait for this for a long time. Yeah. Now we have a good team. We want it to be a really good team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? No, I feel that a lot. It feels like, it feels like there isn't, for better or worse, I don't know, I can't tell you which one's right, but there is a sense of urgency that mm-hmm. I didn't expect to mm-hmm. be there. Yeah. I did expect a little bit of, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I thought there would be a little bit of, hey, just happy to be here. Because I swear, during that 16-year playoff drought, that's all everyone was saying was just, look, beggars can't be choosers. Let's just get there. We all know it's not going to take overnight to win a championship, but yeah. Let's have some sustained success for a little bit, and then we can kind of make the next move. That has not been the case for Kings fans.
And Kyle made, I thought, a really good point. To that point, he said Kings fans look at it, and it's so wide open in the West right now. There is not that great Laker team or the great whoever team and all, you know, the great, sorry, Alan, your Warriors are not what they used to be. But, you know, I mean,
really?
All credit to the Nuggets, but right now it's like, hey, we have a good team and it's kind of more wide open than sure. It often is. So this is our chance. I think that contributes to that sense too.
I think that's a really dangerous line of thinking though, because that's how you end up going all for broke. And I mean, yes, even if the Kings do, let's just live in this fantasy world where maybe the Kings do see that opportunity open and try and seize it and whatever the results happen, you could end up sacrificing
mortgage your future
for the present, and who knows how hard you're ending up capping what you actually are too. I mean, to me, that's the big fear about all these, the Zach LaVines, the OGs, the Siakams, all those names being thrown out. And I think for the most part, we all pretty much agree, like, those names don't really seem to just make sense to what we think the Kings need. It doesn't make sense to just kind of go out there and make those moves just because those are the moves to be had.
Right. The problem is the Kings just need, they don't need, it's more than one move. They need better players. They need, just like Brendan was saying during the roundtable, they need a better version of Harrison Barnes. They need a better version of Kevin Huerter to add to that core, and you can try to get it in one
foul swoop,
but I don't know that you can. And if you do happen to get it, there's still no promises,
right?
And what did you have to give up? The problem is to get the correct upgrade or the best upgrade for Kevin Huerter or a Harrison Barnes, it'll probably cost you Keegan Murray. That I think is the, or you're going to get someone a little not as good and give up other pieces. That's a conundrum that the Kings are in.
At cross purposes. I was looking at the minutes played, and you know, I'm a big Keon Ellis guy, and it's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. And I made this point yesterday. But Keon Ellis right now, I think, is eighth on the team in minutes played per game. On the one hand, great job, Keon Ellis. That's great. On the other hand, wow, that's not the way the Kings drew it up.
No.
There's other guys not playing as much who are supposed to be contributing more right now than they have been so far.
Yeah, we were just talking with Brendan and Frankie. I guess I'll ask you the same question. I mean, with hindsight being 2020, what would you grade the Kings' offseason moves?
Whatever Frankie said, I agree with Frankie always.
I agree.
I didn't hear it.
He said C-. He said C-. Brendan, I think, said B. And to me, B just feels a little bit high because, I mean, you and I were doing shows together all summer. The talk of the town was Sasha. Sasha's going to come in. He's going to make huge impact. And, you know, even if it's not, he's going to be, you know, he was a EuroLeague MVP. He's obviously not going to be anywhere near an NBA MVP, but he's going to be a guy who can contribute from day one. I just don't think we've seen the level of contribution we expected. Chris Duarte, similar conversation happened where, oh, that's a clear upgrade. And, you know, Terrence Davis can go because Chris Duarte gives that offense, but also some defense as well. We haven't seen any of those guys produce to the level that we expected them. And also, on top of that, how many times do you sign 3 to 4 free agents and then you get a surprise one? I think of, you know, the Kings sign George Hill, Dwayne Dedman, and who's the guy who ends up emerging? Rashawn Holmes. 2 years ago or last year, the Kings bring in Kevin Huerter, bring in all these guys, Trey Lyles, Malik Monk. Malik Monk is the one that came up and made the biggest impact, and I don't think people expected that. The Kings, all the moves they made this offseason, no surprises, and everyone hasn't lived up to what we expected in the first place. So to me, I do think that that's a big reason why you look at what happened, and they have a similar record, but it just doesn't feel as good as it should.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And not to say that the moves were not good moves. They made sense at the time, but all the things the Kings were hoping that would produce improvement, virtually none of them have produced any improvement yet. will be better because defensively, because we played a year in the system. Keegan's going to be better. We've seen that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and Duarte's going to help to the point you made about the guys they signed. None of it's really worked. And that doesn't mean that, wow, those were bad moves. It just means, well, they haven't worked yet. There's still time, but that's why they're right now kind of spinning their wheels on a few things.
Yeah. Yeah, Whitey, when you bring up Keon Ellis playing in the good story,
it's a great story.
No, great story. It reminds me of the Giants because earlier this season, we were all clamoring, Giants fans, bring in the young guys, bring in the young guys. They bring in one young guy, Casey Schmidt. Okay, cool. You bring in another guy. Who is this guy? The next thing you know, half the lineup is the young guys, and it got to the point where this is too many.
Yeah.
This means that the lineup just isn't good.
Yeah.
These guys aren't ready. All these guys are not ready, and I think that's exactly what's happening, and I don't know if it's a direct correlation to Davion with Keon playing, but whether it's Davion, we talked about Davion. We also talked about Duarte in a similar light. I know he's a little bit bigger, but same idea. So I think that is there's so many balancing acts and dancing between, okay, this is too much and this is just enough. And I think that's ultimately what the Kings are going to have to decide for this specific season. I think that a very important stretch here, we were talking about it during the roundtable, before the Kings, the next couple weeks here, before they get to, they have the Bucks, and then they have the 76ers, then they have the Bucks, and then they have the Suns. What they do before then, when they're playing some of these teams that are good, not great, besides the Orlando Magic, I think that it's going to really shape the rest of this season. Because the deadline is February 8th. It's going to sneak up on us. All right. Got to get out of here. Chris, any final word for 2023?
Bye.
There you go. There's Chris.
That's my
guy. You have the Drive Guys up next with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Thank you to all the guests that we had on the show today. Thank you to DeMichael Cole. Thank you to Lake Lewis Jr. Thank you to Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli. Thank you to Nate for doing his thing. Thank you to Chris for doing his thing. Thank you to myself, I guess, for just hanging out.
Oh, you don't think you're...
Well, I don't really know what to do there.
Yeah, that's not what you do.
I didn't want to know what to do there. Thank you for listening. Alan Stiles, Chris Watkins, Nate Littlefield. We'll see you in 2024. Until next time, secure the bag, light the beam.